Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle. We're still looking ahead to 2019. We're going to do this more and more as the weeks roll on and training camp approaches, the season opener approaches. Coming to you as always from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We did awards on the offense and defensive side of the ball in the first two quarters of the show. We're now continuing our player profile series, which is designed just to put a spotlight on each individual scholarship player on Penn State's roster, what we think they're capable of doing moving forward, and what they how they arrived at this point in their career. We've actually got four players. We've been doing three at a time. We've got four to get us all the way through number 99. And I think some of the late enrollee freshmen will circle back to them in the next couple weeks as well. But this series is winding to a close, and I've really enjoyed putting their Penn State careers in perspective, in full perspective at this point. Sometimes, you know, a guy arrives and they start to carve out a certain reputation for themselves, and you sort of forget where they came from and what their storylines were as a recruit. And I know, you know, as we analyze recruiting all the time here, it's fun to circle back and try to remember what you thought about a guy or what you thought about his recruitment or what needed to happen in order for him to be a viable player in the Big Ten Conference, and trying to circle back and look at that stuff. So we've got two specialists, Jake Pinniger and Blake Gilliken, the kicker and punter, respectively. And then two defensive linemen, P.J. Mustafa, the tackle, and Yitor Gross-Matos, the defensive end.
Yeah.
So let's start with Jake Pinniger.
Okay.
He was brought on – he was what? Back-to-back cycles they brought in scholarship kickers. And you saw fairly early when Alex Barbier left the program that that was a smart choice.
Right.
Jake Pinniger comes from the state of Iowa. He stood out to me as a prospect because he was a safety too, and just like Blake Gilliken, Jake Pinniger was an actual athlete who just happened to be a very good kicker. And I always thought that that was an encouraging way to go about trying to find these type players, because I know athleticism, natural athleticism, makes it for a job like this that's very mechanical in nature,
right,
just makes it a little easier to be able to repeat the same steps over and over again. So for Pinniger, we saw that last year as a true freshman who he had, I think it's fair to say, a short leash as a kicker. I know he had some kicks blocked. He missed a couple kicks, and there were some ups and some downs. But I don't think we came out of his true freshman season as a Penn State's primary kicker, place kicker, thinking that Pinniger wouldn't pan out down the road. Like, I came out of it feeling pretty encouraged that Pinniger can be the guy. And then, you know, looking at what they did with him at the Blue-White game with the kicking contest and stuff, he just looks like a confident kid. And the trajectory of his ball looked a little bit better in the spring, too. That's a big thing to watch.
Yeah, I think Joe Lorig should get some credit for that. It's tough because I talked to Jake Pinniger about this a couple weeks ago. And, you know, there's not much coaches can do for kickers and really punters, too, at this point in time. You know, they've been kicking for so long. Most special teams coordinators are not kickers. They're not former special teams guys. They're special, you know, specialists. They so there's not a whole heck of a lot those guys can do. It's a very self-help kind of position, and it's one where guys, you know, rely on others that came before them, maybe like a Robbie Gold, maybe some other guys, to Sam Ficken perhaps, to try and, you know, figure out, what diagnose what's going wrong and being better based on, you know, what seems to be the issue. So I know Jake Pinniger and Joe Lorig both talked about, you know, missing kicks from the same spot on the field and how that could be, you know, a little tweak here or there could change that. So I think if you're a Penn State fan, you should have a lot of confidence in Jake Pinniger. I think bringing in Jordan Stout, the Virginia Tech transfer, who's going to be immediately eligible, I think that will that will play a big role here, because it seems like he's going to do kickoffs, and that will take that off of Jake Pinniger's plate, and all he has to do is worry about placement kicks. And some guys like to be really active and some guys don't, but I think that, you know, ultimately, the less you can have these guys do, especially at a young age, the better, and I think that's going to help Jake Pinniger this fall.
Yeah, I mean, I know Jordan Stout has his eyes on competing for, you know, the place-kicking duties as well. And I do think that Penn State, and rightfully so, wants to try to compartmentalize these responsibilities and not have it all fall on one guy. So to have Jake Pinneger just focus on place-kicking, if Jordan Stout does indeed come in and take those kickoff duties, would be a good thing for everybody. Let's look at Blake Gillikin, who will now be – is this his fourth year coming up as a starting punter?
Sounds right, yeah.
Okay, so – you know, he's been around long enough. It almost makes him easy to forget about.
Right.
Sometimes you have such a high level of expectation for him that he's going to place the ball well, that he's going to boom a punt when he needs to boom it. And almost all the time he delivers on those expectations. You can think back a handful of times when, you know, he's had a couple disappointing punts or a couple punts that don't get the job done, but he's been so super consistent for Penn State. He's a guy that I suspect when 2019 wraps up, you're going to realize how much you miss him. You know, a good punter is somebody that you don't appreciate in the moment, but later on, you're going to appreciate it. And I think that's going to be Blake Gillikin for sure.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that he was off at times last year, I think, and you know, there were games where he just didn't seem to have that same. I don't know if he didn't always play up to his potential, I didn't think, in 2018, but when he was good, he was really good. And I think that's the guy you're going to see more of this fall as the realization to maybe make it to the pros comes into focus, as the realization to, you know, get back in that all Big Ten conversation starts to take place. You know, he's a guy that, like I said, when he's good, he's really good. And I think Penn State is going to enjoy what they get out of him this fall. I think he's made some changes with Joe Lorig as well. Again, there's not a whole heck of a lot the coaches can do to help these guys when things aren't right, but I think Joe Lorig probably picked up on a few things he could tweak, and it will be disappointing if he's not an all Big Ten talent in 2019. I just think that his raw talent is too good to not be at that level.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, where we are all about the 2019 season right now. The first half of the show, we handed out some awards, who we think is going to be the best players on Penn State's offense and defense. Now we're breaking down some of the final few upperclassmen on Penn State's roster as part of our player profile series segment, brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where if you're looking at the 2019 season, just like we are, mm-hmm. it's good to look at those home weekends and figure out what you're going to do to come and attend a game. There's no better way to do it, in my opinion, than GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience, 48 hours of tailgating. How's that compare to three or four before each individual game? That part of the weekend is, to some, to the smart ones, the most important part of the weekend. GoPSURV.com helps you do that in a way that you've never had before. Shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium, so you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about a whole lot when you're checking out GoPSURV.com. Visit them to learn more details and keep them in mind as the season opener against Idaho approaches. It is coming soon. August 31st is going to approach rapidly. Two more names to get to on this, Greg. PJ Mustafer, who will be a true sophomore defensive tackle, and Yitor Gross-Matos right after him. And I mention his name now because PJ Mustafer has an example to follow when it comes to do what I would say is out of the ordinary along at any point of the defensive line, which is play and do a pretty good job of it as a true freshman. It takes something, you know, it takes a pretty polished product
right.
to play either tackle or end at a high level as a true freshman. Gross-Matos did it 2 years ago, and PJ Mustafer did it last year. We saw Yitor Gross-Matos' role grow exponentially and his impact on the defense. You know, his talent really burst onto the scene as a true sophomore. If Mustafer follows that act too,
right.
Penn State's defense could be even better than you think.
Yeah. And the thing with PJ Mustafer is, you know, he came in at a weight that you don't see too many true freshmen commit at. I mean, it is really difficult. I know we talk about it being hard to play offensive line as a true freshman. It's hard to play defensive line, too. I think that gets overlooked from time to time because, you know, we just expect those guys to go out there and not have to worry about blocking, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of a little bit more natural, I guess, for them to be able to play early. But it's not easy. And the biggest part of that is just the weight and the strength you need to have to hold up and be successful in the Big Ten. PJ Mustipher had a lot of it when he got to campus. They quickly upped his strength index to make sure he'd be good to go when it came down, time to get on the field. And I think that, you know, that just like Etor, just like a couple of the other guys, sky's the limit for him. I mean, he's a guy that I think you expect to have him 4 years instead of three, but if you end up only having him three, I don't think it's going to shock anyone. I think that, you know, he's a very good, talented player who only is going to get better from here, and he was pretty darn good last season.
Here's just the bottom line, that whole playing defensive line as a true freshman. You don't get put in that position if you don't have the potential for a big breakthrough pretty right. early in your career. That's what we saw from Gross Matos last year. PJ Mustipher, with that big, he's got such a big natural athletic frame, and he knows what he's doing, has always used his hands well. He's always had some polish. But, you know, at the end of the day, to borrow one of your phrases, PJ Mustipher was nice. In a position. It doesn't matter how polished you are if you arrive at 270 pounds. It doesn't matter how polished you are technique-wise if you weigh 310, but it's bad weight. You know, the fact that Mustipher brought that technique and that polish to the table, along with a frame that was college-ready, you mentioned he had to add some strength. Almost everybody does to survive in the trenches.
Right.
At this level. That's what stood out. And, you know, he is only going to get better and better. And it's going to be interesting to see in the early part of the season how Penn State uses him. Is he a reserve? Is he a guy who plays a high number of snaps as a reserve? Does he get a run as a starter? Right. How do they use Robert Windsor and Antonio Shelton? It's going to be an interesting combination. But I do think, you know, thanks to PJ Mustipher in large part, Penn State's defensive tackles are going to be a lot better this season, which sounds counterintuitive when you lose Kevin Givens.
Right.
So I think that group's going to be good. Etor Gross Matos, there's not a whole lot more you can say about him.
No.
What was it? What was his final TFL total?
20.
20 and a half,
I think, yeah.
So to get into that range shows how good you can be. As a high school player, you saw it on film. You saw it on the stat sheet. He just had a way of getting into the backfield. He's got the physical tools to do it. He's got the speed, the power, the quickness. But he adds those, you know, whether you want to call it instincts or just the wherewithal, the knowledge of how to beat guys one-on-one. Right. He's always had that. The fact that he's got elite physical tools just makes it borderline unfair. That defensive end group is going to be very good for Penn State. You don't know who's going to be on the opposite side, but you know exactly what to count on from Etor Gross Matos, which if that TFL total is not in the 20s again this year, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I would be too. I think that, you know, again, he's going to get a little bit more attention from opposing coordinators and coaches who are going to try and, you know, make sure they have whatever they need to have protection-wise to stop him, but I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. He's just a terror off that defensive end. He's so quick. He's so good with his hands. I mean, there's not much he doesn't do well, and that's going to lead him to be one of Penn State's stars if he's not already because of it.
He's going to be a true junior. I suspect this will be the last we'll see of him because of all those things. NFL caliber skills, NFL caliber physical tools. All right, that's it for the player profile series for now. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Ask Greg, your Penn State recruiting questions.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.